Here this morning, and I was thinking this morning as I was getting dressed, I said, you know, Lord, I brought clothes, and I brought a pair of pants I ain't been able to wear for a while, and I said, well, that don't fit me very well, but I'll take it, since over there I'm only going to be eating two meals a day. By the end of the week, come Sunday, I might be able to wear it. But the truth is, a week later, I'm having trouble wearing the ones that used to fit me loose when I came out of here. So we'd like to thank you all for all the good food and everything you've done for us this week. The good time we've had here as we have preached and tried to be a blessing. I meditated this morning what God would have me to preach on, and we've preached to Christians, and we've preached to discourage people, and we've preached to encourage people, and I don't know if I've made anybody mad before, but if I leave without making somebody mad, I will ruin my perfect record. And I wouldn't want to have it that way. We've never been aware that we ain't preached, made somebody mad, somebody glad, and somebody sad. Well, I wouldn't want to ruin it, so I said, Lord, just give me a message I can make somebody mad. So, this morning, so I'm hoping the devil will get mad this morning. I'm hoping the devil will get mad, okay? I hope you'll be glad. And I hope when we leave you'll be sad. You know, it may be backwards. It may turn out backwards. You might be glad, but you know, I'm hoping you'll be saddened. I'm going to speak this morning on presumption. A lot of people presume a lot of things, and a lot of people, they just assume a lot of things. Some people just think this is the way it ought to be. People think this way because they're geared that way. You know, people think that if a church is big, then it must be the right church. And if a church is rich, then it must be the right church. That if a church preaches some extremes, some things that are way out there sound extreme, must be the right church. Some people think if somebody preaches deep, must be the truth, because I don't understand it. Now, people just have this, they assume these things, and because people assume those things, is that the multitudes of people are going to hell. other people assume that just because they go to the right church and they hear the right preacher and they attend the right congregation, that they're going to heaven. But a lot of things are, people are just being presumptuous. Many kids are assuming that they're going to heaven because mama carried them 9 months before they were ever born to church. And they've been there all their life, and they've never been out in the world, and they've never been out in sin. And they've never been anywhere but church. Some kids assume they're going to heaven just because of that. But that king over there in chapter 6, and I won't preach from there, I just want to read this verse of scripture before we get into the text. That king over there, when the Assyrians besieged Samaria in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 27, said it well when he said, "If the Lord does not help thee, hence shall I help thee." In Spanish, it reads, "If the Lord does not save thee, how can I save you?" And I tell you, if God don't save you, ain't nothing I can do for you. Ain't nothing this church can do for you. There ain't nothing nobody can do for you. And it don't make no difference what you assume or what you presume or what you think. It'll make no difference. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to speak to hearts tonight, this morning. And just, Father, as we preach, I ask you to touch these hearts, and may people this morning realize that it's not what they think, what they assume, it's not what presumptions they may have of how this thing works, but, Father, it must be that Jesus Christ has come into their life and saved their soul. Amen. And if he has not, they're eternally damned already. Open up the eyes, Father, that they might see as Elijah prayed in chapter 6 and said, "Open the young man's eyes that he may see." Oh God, how we have teenagers this morning in this church, perhaps, that their eyes have not been opened to see that they too must trust Christ in a personal way. Perhaps other people here. Perhaps Christian kids been raised in a Christian home. I do not know. But God, I just pray that they not commit the errors this man I'm to speak about committed. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to speak tonight, or this morning, on the error of a great general. If you turn back right there in chapter 6 to chapter 5, we find Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, and it says he was a great man. But not only was he a great man, it says he was honorable, because by him the Lord has given deliverance unto Syria. And you know, this is a blessing to me when I read this, because I realize when I read this verse of scripture that not necessarily everything I accuse to the devils of the devil, many times God's in it. Here's Syria, the enemy of Israel, and yet the Bible says that God gave deliverance to Syria by the hand of this man. He was also a mighty man in valor. But that word, between all his good qualities, that little word that reads "but" is a big but. That's a big but in this man's life. He said, but he's a leper. Mind this man. This man is honorable. He's a great man. He's mighty. He got his use him to bring deliverance. But he's a leper. Here's a man of valor. Here's a great general, but a leper. As we study his actions, we will see 5 blunders, typical of sinners seeking salvation apart from Christ. In this passage of scripture, we will see 5 blunders, 5 assumptions, 5 mistakes, 5 things people assume that seek salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people seek to be saved apart from Jesus. They think they're saved because they're members of a Baptist church. I've heard people say, well, the Baptists preach salvation. Well, that's debatable. Because I've seen Baptists preach salvation through the Baptist church. But I've seen Baptists teach salvation and say they're speaking of grace, but when you talk to this Baptist, they're talking about water baptismal. So I would not assume anything.
Amen.
I would not assume that because you're a Baptist or you're a Methodist or a Presbyterian or any other thing or you're a Catholic or a Pentecostal or you've spoken in tongues, I would not assume anything. This man here made five mistakes, five blunders, and they're typical of Christians seeking salvation apart from Christ. As we'll see. Verse 2 says, and the Syrians went out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maiden. I wrote down here, a witnessing little maiden. Hey, this girl was witnessing, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus saith the maiden that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have herewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mightest recover him of his leprosy. I want to stop here for a minute and talk about that letter. Something wrong with this letter. You know what? The Bible says over there in Corinthians that the letter killeth. Hey, the letter killeth. You say, well, you're spiritualizing the text. It makes no difference whether I'm spiritualizing the text. The letter doth kill it. I know a lot of people that assumingly they're preaching the truth, but the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Except the Spirit draw. Except the Spirit draw. If the Spirit of God don't draw on sinners, the letter will kill them.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with the message. It's just something that came up here. I have this word just pop out at me. You know, that ever happened to you like neon signs? One fellow said that that's because I did not take homiletics or hermeneutics to properly interpret the scripture. And to speak everything in its context. Verse 7 says, and it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and say, Am I God to kill and to make alive that this man does set me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, I consider, I pray you, see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so that when Elijah, the man of God, had heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent unto the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Verse 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me. You see, he's assuming a lot of things. And stand and call in the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophets had bid thee do something, some great thing, would now thou have done it? How much rather then, when he has said to thee, Wash and be clean. Verse 14. And then he went down. You always must go down first. And dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. This man here, I want to show you five blunders in this man. Whenever you seek to get saved any other way than through Jesus Christ, you'll commit the same blunders. The first mistake this man made was in verse 5. He offered the wrong price. He thought he could buy his salvation. For listen, he came by and he brought 10,000 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of clothing. He thought he could buy his salvation, but the Bible says it is not by gifts, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, for our good works are as filthy rags in the presence of God. He could not buy salvation. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot give enough money to the church. You cannot give enough money to the preacher. You cannot give enough money to your religion to get you into heaven. This man assumed that he had brought enough money, and if he brought enough, if he paid the right price, he could go to heaven. Now that's what religion teaches. Religion teaches you that if you're a good enough church member, if you're good enough to that church, if you're good enough to build them a bigger church building, if you're good enough to give them some more money, you have a good chance of going into heaven. But that's a blunder people commit because it's the wrong price. Because the price of salvation is the blood of the Lamb. The price of salvation is found in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28. He says that through his blood he purchased the church. I tell you, the way to go to heaven is the price that was paid with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man offered the wrong price. And then we find out that he went to the wrong person. He wound over there and he went to the king. That's not what the girl said. The girl said, go to the prophet. But he wound up over there at the king's. He went to the wrong person. He went to the king, but the girl said, go to the prophet. Jesus Christ is that prophet. And I'll show you that. If you turn to me in the book of Luke, chapter 1, I'll show you that Jesus Christ is that prophet. Luke 1, I believe it's verse 72. 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. Jesus Christ is the prophet of the highest. This man not only made a mistake in that he went to the wrong place, he also went to the wrong person. You know, many times people go to the wrong person to ask them questions about the soul. Hey, and you can do this if you don't believe me, and I'm not here being critical because I don't criticize the Baptist. I always start with the Baptist. That way no one can say, he said, well, he's biased. Well, I always preach against the Baptist first. That way anybody can say, they say, well, he's a Baptist and he done said the Baptists are wrong. But I'm going to share something with you, and if you don't believe me, go ask him. You go ask a priest. You go ask him. You ask a Roman Catholic priest if he knows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if he can assure you that when he dies or when you die, you're going to heaven. Go ask him. Amen. I'm not telling you to believe what I say. I said, go ask him, and you'll hear what he says. I asked one time after I was saved. I said, excuse me, priest. I said, how can I go to heaven? You know what he answered? He said, very carefully, my child. Very carefully. He don't know. I'm not laughing at him. You go ask him yourself. He don't know. And if you think I'm lying, go see him this afternoon and ask him. He don't know. People go to the wrong persons. They assume the wrong things. They assume what some people say, well, it's the oldest religion. So? Does that make it right? Religion's always been older. You want to know how old religion is? It goes all the way back to Cain. Cain offered a sacrifice unto God. This man, he went to the wrong person. He said, go to the prophet of God. Go to the prophet of God. There's some things about a prophet of God. The things that he says shall surely come to pass.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to read. A prophet of God don't have to read the horoscope to find out what's going to go on tomorrow.
Amen.
They'll surely come to pass. You know, a lot of people go to the wrong persons for the wrong things. And I hope there's none of you here, but that's probably the reason why God's telling me to do it. Because there's nobody here like that. But I find people, they say, marriage counselors have, this is psychologists, and psychiatrists is the thing of this generation. They wind up blowing their heads off, but
yeah.
You know. But this is the time. And people go to the wrong people for their marital problems.
That's right. Amen.
They go see a marriage counselor. And some of those are fruitcakes.
Amen.
You say they're fruitcakes? Yeah, they're tutti frutti. They ain't married.
Yeah.
They ain't married. They wouldn't know what to tell you about marriage because they ain't never been married.
Yeah.
That's the people go get advice from them. Other people, now you say other people go to the wrong person. I know women go ask their mother for advice. Now you say, you don't think mothers are good advice? Sometimes they ain't. I've seen mothers tell girls to do, to says, this is the way you need to do with that fella. You listen to me. But she's been married to a fella for 40 years. She's never been able to straighten out her fella. I wonder why she ought to be given any advice how to straighten out your fella. It ain't work for her. So I'm telling you, people assume a lot of things. You better find where there's a prophet of God. You better find where there's a man of God. And you better inquire of the man of God. Whether it's for the salvation of your soul, whether it's for your Christian living, whether it's for your marital home, whatever it is, you better find out where the man of God is and what the man of God says.
Amen.
That had nothing to do with the message. Somehow, God just told me to tell you that. We go to the wrong people for the wrong advice. I'm not saying, now, you ladies are beginning to frown on me. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to mother if mother was a good example. And if mother's raised a good home. And if mother has a good home. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't take mom's advice if mom's got a mess at home. That's all I'm saying. I mean, hey, after all, if I wanted to get rich, I wouldn't go find a hobo downtown somewhere. And I tell him, hey, I said, hey, how do I get rich? He wouldn't know. He wouldn't know. He said, well, how do you know maybe one time he was rich? Well, he lost it, didn't he? I'll go find someone that made it and kept it and ask him how to get rich. You better go to somebody that knows something about what they're talking about. Not only did this man go to the wrong person, he went to the king instead of going to the prophet. Hey, but he went to the wrong place. Verse 9 tells us, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood. But before he ever came to verse 9, let's go a little further back where he stopped first. He first came and he stopped at the king's palace. First stop he takes, he went to the wrong place. He stopped at the king's palace. But then in verse 9, you say, verse 9 reads, and he came to the door of the house. He's still in the wrong place. Look what the Bible says. What? He said he came to the door of the house of Elijah. Why was he in the wrong place? He was so close or so near, yet so far. Hey, some people have come all the way to this chair where you're sitting this morning, and you're so near salvation, yet you're so far away from salvation. Hey, that's presumptuous. You can get all the way to the prophet's house, Naaman, and still be lost in your sin. You can come all the way to the house of God and sit inside the house of God and still be lost in your sin.
Right.
This man here, he went to the wrong place, so I mean you're so near salvation, yet they're lost. Convicted, but not concerned. A lot of people convicted of sin. I guarantee you, a man of God gets to preaching on sin, you'll get under conviction, but some people ain't concerned. Say, boy, he just troubles my heart every time that preacher preaches. But not concerned enough. Hey, Felix was that way. Felix was under conviction, and he said, I'll hear you another time. He wasn't concerned. He was just convicted. We find over there, and Ray, in King Agrippa, hey, he was convinced.
Amen.
But he did not surrender. He said, thou almost persuadeth me to be a Christian. Hey, I find that people are so close, yet so far away, they are convicted, but they're not concerned about their own soul. They're not concerned that if the Lord were to come tonight or to come today, they spend eternity in hell. They are convicted of it, but they're not concerned. They're convinced, but they won't surrender. Blunders. Then in verse 11 we find this man. But Naaman was worth or mad, and he went away and said, behold, I thought. That's your problem. You do too much thinking. I thought that when you went to church you ought to do this. Well, how do you know? Who told you? Well, I saw it on TV is usually the best answer. He'll surely come out to me and stand. You know, this man here wanted to use the wrong prescription. He said, I got it all figured out. Doctor, I want you to heal me my way. I go to the doctor, and the doctor tells me, he said, what's wrong with you? I said, that's what I came to see you.
Yeah.
I don't pay you to tell you what's wrong with me. Because half the time, if I tell him what's wrong with me, all he does is says, oh, that's okay. He gives me a prescription on my diet, on what I said was wrong with me. He don't go to the trouble to find out what's wrong with me. He just says, oh, that's what's wrong with you. I say, doctor, I come to see you because I got this cough and this cold. Oh, you got a cough and a cold. And he goes ahead and says, here's this antibiotic. When I have to do that to a doctor, I tell him I'm only going to pay you half price because I already took the diagnosis. When I go to a doctor, I want him to look at me. And I want him to tell me what's wrong with me. Go to mechanic, same thing. This man here, he said, Doc, I want you to heal me, but I want you to do it my way. A lot of people want it done their way. Don't work that way. The woman at the well in John chapter 4 found out it don't work that way. He said, it's neither here nor there. Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. A lot of people want it their way. He said, go wash in the Jordan 7 times. He wanted it his way, just like most sinners, but there's only one way to be saved.
Amen.
Only one way to be saved.
Amen.
You can't just have it your way. Let me tell you, the Bible says over there, I believe it's Acts 4:12, for there is not salvation in any other man, in any other name, for there is one name.
Amen.
One name given among men by which, hey, you can't get saved on the Baptist name, on the Catholic name, on the Protestant's name, on the Evangelical's name. You gotta get saved in that name that's above every name, in the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
That is the name. That is the name. He wanted it his way, but the only way was in that name, and the only way was through that blood. Timothy shows us that in 2:5, that it is through the blood. But let me tell you something else about this man. Not only did he offer the wrong price, not only did he go to the wrong person, not only did he go to the wrong place, not only did he wanted to use the wrong prescription, but he had the wrong passion. He said he had the wrong passion, yes. He went away in a rage. Hey, this man, pretty proud man. So he turned and went away in a rage. That's the wrong passion. That's the wrong attitude.
Yes. Amen.
That's pride at its best.
Yes. Amen.
A lot of people say, huh, well, they're going to be that way around. This church, I just won't come back. Hey, you got the wrong attitude. You're in the you got this whole thing wrong. The blessing is that he turned again. And here's the thing: God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he turned around and he went down. Hey, before you go up, you're going to have to come down. Now I tell you something, you better bend your knee here.
Amen.
And confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Because in hell, you will bend your knee.
Amen.
And every knee shall bow. You better confess him here as Lord.
Yes, amen.
Because in hell, you will confess that he is Lord.
Amen.
Because every tongue shall confess.
Amen.
You better thirst after righteousness here. Because in hell, you will thirst after. I tell you, this man here made blunders. But ain't God so good?
Amen.
How many blunders have you made in your life?
Amen.
Hey, you see, God knows the heart. God knows the heart. God knew if this man could just get down there to Samaria where that prophet was, God knew what this man was thinking. God knew what this man, that this man was trying to get it his way. God knew that this man was going to the wrong place. God knew this man was full of pride. God knew that this man would go to the wrong person. God knew that this guy was trying to buy his cleansing. But in the sovereign grace of God, God said if he'll just go down there, that's what God done for you this morning. In His sovereign grace, He just has brought you down here.
Amen.
You may have a lot of ideas on how to get to heaven, but in God's grace, He just brought you down here.
Amen.
And if you'll realize and if you'll confess your presumptions and say, this is what I assumed, this is what I thought. I thought if I was a member of a church, or I thought if I did this, or I thought if I was baptized, or I thought if I've done this, I could go to heaven. That's what I thought. But if you'll go ahead and admit you were wrong all along, and you'll confess to God that you were wrong, and you'll humble yourself, you will be cleansed. This man went down and he was cleansed. Many today are in the same condition. They're spiritual leopards. But let's see what the words of the servant, verse 13. I like that servant here. Boy, look at this servant. And his servant came near and spake unto him. This may be your wife. This may be your husband. This may be your daughter, your son. This may be your father. This may be your mother. This may be that friend that brought you to church this morning. But his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet did bid thee some great thing, wouldest thou now had done it?
Amen.
Hey, if God would ask some difficult thing of you to go to heaven, wouldn't you do it? Why not do the simple thing?
Amen.
And he said, just go down there to the Jordan and dip thyself 7 times. If he had commanded you some great things, he said, I'd like to be saved. I'd like to not make the blunder that so many people have made over the years. Well, and you'll have to understand this simply. The price of salvation is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He done paid the price.
Amen.
You can't add anything to it.
Amen.
Jesus is the person of salvation, for there is no other name given.
Amen.
The cross is the place of salvation.
Amen.
For over there, I believe it's in the book of Corinthians, chapter 1. It says, to them that are perished, it is foolishness. But to them that believe, yes. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That is the place. The prescription is that blood.
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The prescription is that you get dipped in that blood. You must get dipped in the blood of the Lamb. Your sins must be covered by the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
Hey, and repentance. Repentance is the passion in which you must come. You must come humbly. You must humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You can't come to Him proud. You're going to have to humble your heart.
Amen.
You're going to have to humble yourself. Well, there in the book of Acts, I believe it is, chapter 26. Verse 2. And I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things where I am accused of the Jews. And we find here Paul speaking, and speaking to them, he goes on to give his testimony, and he says here who he was and how he had authority and what he could do, and here he is saying all these things. But verse 22 he says, but having therefore obtained help of God, I continued on to his day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other thing than those which were of the prophets, that Christ shall suffer, and that he shall be the first and be raised from the dead. And here he is speaking to Agrippa, and he said, hey, I used to be so proud. I used to just go over here and just pop my fingers. He said, but I had a humbling experience on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
I saw the light.
Amen.
And I cried out, Lord, what would you have me to do?
Amen.
I tell you this morning, have you seen the light? Have you seen this assumption? Have you had some assumptions on salvation? If you had your own thoughts, you better throw them out the window, because they won't get you into heaven. Ain't nothing you can do to merit heaven. It is a gift of God.
Amen.
There ain't no person you can come to except the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is nothing that'll cure your sin in your life but the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And there ain't nothing you can do, but you must humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and admit that you're a sinner and put your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. You better not assume anything. You better not assume anything. You better leave aside all prejudice that you may have, all ideas that you may have. And you need to ask yourself just one question. If I were to die today, would I go to heaven? The answer to that question lies and hinges on this. Have you ever repented of your sin and put your trust on the Lord Jesus Christ? No one can answer that but you. Don't assume nothing else. Just that. Come down here this morning if you haven't. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, come on down here this morning.
And let us take the scripture and show you how you can be cleansed from your sin. God's brought you here. Somebody witnessed to you. Someone invited you. Wouldn't you have done harder things? What could be so hard about getting up this morning and coming to the front here and letting somebody take the scripture and show you how you can have eternal life? Will you do it? Who'd raise their hand this moment and say, pray for me? Pray for me. I'd like to know this morning. I see your hand. God bless you. Someone else. God bless you. Yes. I'd like to know that this morning. God bless you. I'd like to know this morning. Anybody else? I'm not going to assume anything no more. I want to know. How about you, Christian? The revival ain't over. The revival ought to have begun in your heart. Would you be like that little lady, that little maiden, that witnessing little maiden? Are you going to be a witnessing? Why don't you come this morning and commit yourself to God and say, God, I'm just going to let my light shine that others may see Christ in me. I've been revived. God's touched my heart. I've gotten back up. I've seen where I was wrong, and now I just want to be a witness the way this little maiden was a witness. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you, Christian. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Amen. Invitation is going to be made. If you're not here without Christ this morning, wouldn't you do harder things than walk to the front this morning? Come as the invitation is made. If you raised your hand, want to be saved, come as they sing the first stanza.